You're listening to the Cultural Hall Podcast with your host, Richie T. Stedman and Lauren Johnson. It's a podcast about Mormon stuff. So you're listening to a podcast with your host, Lauren Johnson and Richie T. Interviewing people and talking about conference. It's a Mormon thing. It's a Cultural Hall, so let's begin now.
I love it. It happened again, and I didn't even have to say it. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall Podcast, this being episode 18 of Legal Age. Thank you for tuning in, but unless you're listening in Southern Utah on Power 91,
thank you for downloading.
Yeah, thank you for making time for us.
Or listening on the laptop.
Or your appropriate player, your phone.
Your iPod. What else do we have out there?
I'm sure there's, you got your computer covered. We got your iPods. Oh, your Kindle or the like.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Your
iPad.
Your iPad. Your tablet. That was the word I was looking
tablet.
For.
Tablet, yeah.
If you're tablet listening, thank you for doing so.
And we're 18, so we're preparing for the mission now.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
I hope they call me on a mission. Time to head to Mr. Mac soon, and they should totally pay us, by the way, for that little.
Yeah. Did you hear that, Mr. Mac? Brother Christensen?
Free advertising right there for Mr. Mac. Three-piece suits.
That's a check made payable to theculturalhall.com.
Well done.
So big episode today. We're going to be talking with Chet Cannon, who you might know from reality TV. He was on The Real World. And I've also, since we talked about on our Facebook page we were going to have him on, I've had several people who have let me know that they've run into him through other avenues of life,
besides just
watching him on TV. So I look forward to the opportunity to sitting down and talking to him and asking him about some of those things that I've heard.
Oh, great. Well, as do I. Chet and I actually grew up going to the same ward, and the two of us taught a missionary prep class together.
After the mish?
After both of our missions.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So I think we had about 10 young men at about age 18, like we are now, getting prepared to go on a mission. I think two of them ended up going.
Nice.
Wait. I'll have to ask Chet what he thinks of that.
Wait.
We were good though. I mean, these boys came early. I should call them young men, huh?
Yeah.
18. These young men came early before church. We came early. I thought we taught some pretty good lessons.
2 out of 10. That's 20%.
It could have been 0. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, you know, if it so be that you should labor, but for only one soul. So that's twice as good as just one. Good work.
Yeah.
Besides, you don't get to control what they pick. They pick what they pick.
Right.
They get
it's
to
called,
do what they
it's
do.
It's called free agency.
Yeah, it's not free. You ever get that?
Yeah.
It's free agency. Hey, that agency wasn't free. And you're
right.
Like, yeah, okay, I'm using the term free agency. I'm not.
Right. Right. I know.
All right. Back off, buddy. Yeah, I get it. It wasn't free. There was a sacrifice. Okay, no, tell me. Please, sit down and lecture me. I'd love to
right.
hear it. Free agency. Oh.
Okay.
All right, fine. A lot of interaction on our Facebook page this
week.
Yeah,
I'm liking it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So please, if you haven't yet liked The Cultural Hall, go to Facebook and...
It's a great outlet. It's been fun to read them. Even for me, I'm like, yeah. Or other times, I'm like, oh my.
What in the world?
Oh dear.
You just search The Cultural Hall. You can also follow us on Twitter because those two interconnected. You can go at The Cultural Hall. So if you subscribe to our tweets, you're also getting our Facebook posts.
Yeah.
See how I did that?
That was good.
Yeah.
Well done. Well played.
And then also you can always email us. You can go to the website, theculturalhall.com, and that's where this email comes from. I'll just share this with you. The only one this week. This is talking about the second half of Mitch Main.
Okay.
Said, just finished listening the second half of the Mitch Main. I can't tell you guys how much I loved this. I mean, it sincerely affected my view of how the church is dealing with the gay thing. It sort of helped me heal my anger over the whole Prop 8 thing. A lot of things going on in this. It made me feel so proud of the saints in that ward. That being Mitch Main's ward. It showed a new way of interacting among ward family members. I sincerely have to tell you two, I got a deeply happy feeling listening to this. I liked Richie's easygoing and yet direct way of talking about this. I'm thinking about his statement, what she, Lauren, wants to know, Mitch, is do you kiss dudes? Which you can go back and listen to when I confront Mitch about that. Funny, direct, casual, and the question that we had all been wondering. I also really liked the interaction between you two. It was relaxed and good. Lauren, I liked your questions. goes on. I have to say that I was so involved in this discussion that I got excited thinking about gay friends and ward leaders I wanted to tell about this. I want to send it to my friend, the recently out of the closet gay kid in my son's ward, and to the bishopric of that ward. It's so enlightening as to how a ward family can love one another that it's a lesson for all of us. I can't tell you guys how important this seemed to me, and it wasn't one-sided or the other. I told one buddy about it, and he said, "I get so ticked off with the gays because they seem to want special rights." I explained to him that he needed to listen to this because it has entirely the opposite attitude. It's so enlightening. I have angry gay friends and parents of gay kids who I know are all equally angry and that need to hear this. Very, very good. It dawned on me, guys, that what you really are uncovering here is Mormon culture. Prop 8 was not Mormon culture, nor the reactions from both sides in the media or the protests, etc. What is really Mormon is how the ward loved Mitch, how Mitch loved them, how they treated each other. That is Mormon culture. You guys are really covered, and that is a great way.
Love that email.
So thank you for sending that in. That leads us into articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
All right, so you've got some news. Would you like me to go first? Would you say you have a lot of news?
I have three articles I want to talk about.
Okay. Talk about or just tell me about? Because I've got like four that I just want to be like.
Talk and tell are different?
Yeah, because I've got four that I'm just like, and this is going on, and that's it.
Well, do two of your this okay. is going on, okay. and then we'll go for my talking.
Okay. Did you ever see this Hot Mormon Men calendar? A couple of years ago was when it first landed, the 2008. The
missionary calendar,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Men on a Mission is what it's called. Chad Hardy was the guy who did it. I actually visited him through my day job when it first came out. And it's 12 return missionaries. This guy ended up getting excommunicated from the church. And
I remember that.
And then also his degree from BYU got revoked as part of it, too. They said, yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know they could do that.
Yeah, because they had approved it, and he'd been cleared for graduation, but then they revoked it because he came out with the
count. Oh, so it happened right then.
Yeah, he had the credits necessary, but they wouldn't allow him to graduate.
Huh.
So anyway, he also did a woman calendar, Mormon Muffins, A Taste of Motherhood, which is hot women in 40s era pinup style outfits. You can see all this at mormonsexposed.com if you want to check that out. And we'll put a link at theculturalhall.com. But he's made almost $3,000 for charity. He also took some of it for himself, I'm sure, on these calendars. Said he sold almost 25,000 calendars over the years. But he said it's run its course and doesn't need to do it anymore.
Who are the models? Are they active LDS people or are they people that are a little bit less active? Well, I guess he's excommunicated now.
The people that are in the calendar range from active LDS Mormon people to people who did go on missions. The only qualification is that they all went on missions.
So some of them might be our Facebook friends?
Yeah, very well could be our Facebook friends.
Or your next-door neighbor?
Yep.
Or the person sitting next to you in the Leaf Society?
I'm looking at this calendar and I'm not seeing you, so it couldn't be the person sitting next to me. But it very well
I was
well
talking
could be.
To our listeners.
Oh, you were talking. Oh. So not a literal...
Right.
Me and you.
I engage our listeners.
Cheap engagement joke passed over. go to mormonsexposed.com if you want to pick up that calendar, because 2012 is your last year to get that. So that's kind of cool.
What do you think would happen if they were active and their bishop or stake president found out about it? Or how bad are the pictures? Have you
No, they're not bad at all. I mean, look at that. When you see that guy, it's just a guy with his shirt off.
Right.
And then it has a picture of him when he was
as
serving on his mission. Has his tag right there.
Okay.
Is that bad?
Well, no, but...
Is that even soft? It's not even soft porn.
No, but have you seen any of the women's?
No, I've not.
Okay. I'll go check them out and tell you what I think.
Well, I can go look. MormonsExposed.com. To me, I would look at that, and here's where I'm kind of torn. I can't see myself doing that because I don't look like that guy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry, it was easy.
But, you know, I mean, he's a good-looking guy.
Of course.
And,
Elder who?
That is, well, he's Mr. June, whoever that is.
Mr. June, and you can't see his missionary tag.
And I don't think, I think as that story goes on.
Hello, Mr. June.
You'll read that he's no longer a member of the church or doesn't attend church. But, yeah, no, I don't know. I think you get to do what you want. I don't think it's – I mean, I guess the one point where I land where maybe you shouldn't have done it is that the fact that the tag and that's in there, you know, right with it. The church has said, you know, hey, we don't want anything to do with this. We don't agree with this. And that's why that's part of the reason why the guy who made the calendar was excommunicated. So I guess in that respect,
that
because
makes
of
me
the,
wonder if the people that are in it would have a similar, I don't know.
Outcome? I think it would depend completely on the bishop and then stake president, where one would say, hey, this is fine. I think another one would say, what are you doing representing this church?
Okay, well,
this
I'll take that job upon me this week to investigate that and find out.
I think I have the original calendar somewhere in my cubicle here at work.
Okay, well, great. Yeah,
I'll take an opportunity to investigate
that. I'll take a copy of that, and then we'll go from there. No, I'm going to do some really good investigative work. You doubt me. I'm not just going to look at the calendar. I'm going to go... Talk to some of these people.
We won't hear from you again, will we? I was supposed to record this today with Lauren. Lauren, got a text message. This calendar is really interesting. I'll be there tomorrow.
I'm going to talk to some of the people in the calendar.
Okay, do it.
I will.
Okay.
Sherry, do it. I like saying that.
I don't like it when you say that. I don't hate it.
Appreciate it?
I don't know. Sherry, do it. Okay, I'll embrace it.
You have mixed feelings. Yeah.
I Sherry embrace it. Not as good?
No, that doesn't work. Anyway, nice try.
Worth a shot. You want to do one?
Let's get something done. Yeah.
I can do another one. You want me to do a quick one?
Okay. Go for it.
So we talked before about the Mormon Defense League. We're going to have him on the show early on in the episodes of the Cultural Hall. Tried to get a contact. It couldn't work it out schedule-wise. We'll still get him on down the road. But the Mormon Defense League, out. New name, Mormon Voices. So go to mormonvoices.com. This is a website that is provided by the Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research. They announced that they would be changing their name from Mormon Defense League to Mormon Voices because they felt like Mormon Voices is a little softer than Mormon Defense League.
Amen to that.
So,
yeah, it's much better.
This is a website that self-motivated Mormons who seek to improve the public understanding about the church through conferences, workshops, and scholarly articles are posted on this website. While it's dedicated to providing well-documented answers to criticisms of the church's doctrine, beliefs, and practices, it is not owned, controlled, or affiliated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So, MormonVoices.com is
that website.
That was
a smart move.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot softer. And it's a great website.
The Cultural Hall approved. Sustained.
Yeah. Any objections?
Okay.
There's never any objections.
Which, I've never seen an objection.
Seen
have you
one.
Ever seen
one?
You've seen one. I want to see one so bad.
Do it. You should do it.
But I've never really wanted
to. No, you should object.
I know. I've never really wanted to object. I would object maybe. No, I don't know if I would if I disagreed. No, maybe I would.
Why wouldn't you?
If I disagreed, I'd object.
You'd have to.
So what happened when the person objected?
Everyone went, right, we'll deal with the objection and we'll bring this before the congregation next week.
Hmm. Well done.
Yeah. It was cool.
I like objections.
And the guy was like, you know, arm to the square, I object.
Was he in the back row of the Cultural Hall, or was he maybe more mid-center?
No, he's a mid-guy. He's a mid-guy.
Huh.
Middle of the road.
Side bench or middle bench?
No, he was middle.
So that means he might have had a big family, too,
then. Oh, yeah.
Family guy.
And pedigree. Had, you know, not just him and his wife. It was like his parents were in the ward, that kind of thing.
So it was a sincere
and
bold objection.
I object.
Hmm.
It was cool.
That is cool.
If you have an interesting story about an objection in your sacrament meeting, you can send it to us, theculturalhall.com. Go to contact us. Send us an email.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, I thought this was really cool because it was in an opinion piece in the Des Moines Register.
Yeah.
Des Moines, I said. Des Moines.
Yeah. It's all right. We said Illinois a couple weeks ago and someone sent me a message and said,
Illinois.
You know it's Illinois, right? And I'm like,
I actually remember
yeah.
you saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. I meant to say Illinois.
Okay. So Des Moines Register. This man, Richard Hubbard, says, I enjoyed reading the November 27th article, politics shines light on old prejudices concerning the Mormon faith and the resistance for Mitt Romney in his quest for the Republican nomination. I am a Republican and have not decided on my choice for a candidate, but I certainly do not see Romney's faith as a barrier for the nomination of election or election. In the fall of 1955, I enrolled in Iowa State University as a freshman in veterinary college. Also enrolled in our class were three students from Utah. All three were Mormon. Our freshman class at the college was 75 students. We studied together, worked together, and became a very close-knit group. It was my privilege to get to know the three of them very well. I roomed with Dick Jones, one of the students from Utah. Never in our 4 years did they ever mention their religion or give anyone the idea that they viewed their religion as being better than anyone else's faith. We as Americans should be proud of the heritage that the Mormon faith has given us. It should not be a barrier, but rather a testimony, uses the word testimony, take to that. The fact.
We don't own the word testimony. You know that, right?
I thought we copyrighted
it. Oh, okay.
Objection.
Yeah. Overruled. Yes.
Rather a testimony to the fact that we are tolerant in our choices for candidates for leaders. Yeah. Go Richard Hubbard. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, amen. I love his mom, too.
Mother Hubbard.
Old Mother Hubbard.
And she lives in a cupboard.
Stupid.
So weird.
Sorry.
Okay. But then we'll just head over to the Washington Post because they also had an article about this that kind of took a different view. This is an opinion piece, though. This is just, you know, naming statistics. On June 1984, a religious leader, Vigilance cornered a man who claimed to receive messages from God and gunned him down in the Illinois jail. Illinois, did you get that? Illinois jail after his arrest. At the time of his death, Joseph Smith Jr., founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, was an announced candidate for President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Today, 167 years later, as two of Smith's adherents eye the nation's highest office, religious discrimination remains an obstacle for Mormon political candidates for president and a vexation for church members. Two Republican contenders, former governors Mitt Romney of Massachusetts and John Huntsman of Utah, have sought to downplay the prejudice in presidential politics, but a potential problem is hard to ignore. More than one in five Americans say they would not vote for a Mormon, a figure that has changed only slightly since the question was first asked in 1967, according to Gallup polls. Dan Peterson, a Mormon and a professor at Brigham Young University in Utah, noted that slim margins decide presidential races in many states, and the anti-LDS factor looms in the background for Romney and Huntsman. Whether it will be fatal to their candidacies, I don't know, he said. Anyway, well, we've heard a lot of polls, you know, a lot of different polls. So if that Gallup poll's right, that is pretty...
It's pretty high.
One
in five, for sure. That won't be Huntsman's problem. But bless his sweet kind of Mormon heart. That will not be.
They
John
talked
Huntsman's
about they
party.
Talked about having problem. A hybrid religion on was it Piers Morgan?
Piers Morgan,
I think he and Mary Kay discussed their hybrid religion where they've combined.
I think he's a great
religions.
Guy, and I think that he's very moderate. I think that he would do a fantastic job. I loved him as governor of Utah. He does not stand a chance. Although I am excited for when he gets to ride the Herman Cain, Rick Perry to the top of the polls, then
right.
to the bottom of the polls. I'm excited for when that happens.
Right.
I think that'll be awesome. It will happen before this whole thing gets done. Yay, John Huntsman, we haven't heard of him. What a great guy. I can't believe what he did. Look
Let's
what he
put
did
him
for
in the middle for the
here
debates.
Here we go, right?
Yeah.
And then here it is, and then he disappears. Sweet John Huntsman.
It'll be a good finale then.
Other things in news here. This is a couple of really cool things that I just found online. BYU students now have the opportunity to help with the translation of print materials for the church through a new service program that they have called Vineyard. This program was created by the church to utilize the talents of church members for a variety of jobs, including translation work and photography. So if you've ever thought you'd be a good translator, now the church is giving you the chance. Students can participate in the translation work through the YServe office. This article is from the Universe, which is the BYU newspaper. But Vineyard is a program by the church to take all the talents that the church members have and use them for the benefit of the church. So it's essentially just... You know, a chance to use if you learned a language on your mission or you speak another language to be able to use those skills, continue to use them. This particular group, they meet weekly And they have all sorts of different projects with photos, with translating different materials for the church. It's called Vineyard. I'll post the article at theculturalhall.com. And if anyone has any questions, you can email vineyardbyu@gmail.com. And then one other one. I thought this was fun. This is from Emily Warburton Jensen.
Our friend.
Our friend and guest that was here on the Cultural Hall a couple weeks ago. This is a way that you can follow the apostles virtually online.
Twitter?
No, no, no.
Are they tweeting?
No, they all have YouTube channels that they constantly update. So in just a little matter of time, you can see where Elder Neil L. Anderson is. You can then go to where Elder Bednar is and see a portion of his talk. And then you go off to Mexico to where Russell Ballard is, and then Madagascar to where Elder Nelson is. And you can just see little clips of these guys,
cool.
of these apostles, in each of their different places where they're going. And it's
on YouTube.
And it's fairly kept up.
I'm going to check that out.
So that's kind of fun to see where that is. And then
I can't wait, though, until when the apostles are tweeting.
Right?
I can't wait to follow Neil Anderson.
I'm sure that, you know.
And Uchtdorf. I mean, it'll be awesome.
I'm not sure they don't do it already. You should look into it.
Do you think they do?
I bet they do. I do.
I've got a lot to investigate this week. Okay.
Are you making notes?
Yeah, I am.
Let's see it. All I see is a pen. Are you actually writing
on
that paper?
Keep going with articles and news. I'll write.
This is cool, too. You've talked to me about Reddit. You think that we should post these things on Reddit. Reddit.com, a site where it's you could waste hours.
Yes.
Hours upon hours. This also from Emily Warburton Jensen. She talks about ZionList.com and then also Mormon Life Hacker. So what this is you go to Mormon Life Hacker, and it's you can see the latest news regarding Mormons and Mormonism. You can find great articles on doctrine, church history, how to do your calling, and more. You can share a great article that you read or a post from your own LDS theme blog. It's like a huge community of LDSism. So go to ZionList.com. Check it out, and you can also Google search Mormon Life Hacker, all one word,
Mormon
and check
Life
it out.
Hacker.
It's pretty awesome, and we'll start posting our
what
cultural
was that LDSism that you said? I'm taking notes. So
the LDSism that I said.
I'm gonna make sure that gets on Urban Dictionary. LDSism.
LDSism. Yeah.
It's cool.
Make sure that does get on Urban Dictionary.
Oh, I will. I've got a list here. I'm writing down. Apostles on Twitter. Check out the Mormon women calendar and find a couple of those ladies or sisters to talk to.
Oh, you're Reddit. Not going to talk to the dudes, only the ladies, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not as concerned about the dudes right now. That's old news.
I'm concerned about my ladies.
Right.
Okay.
Sister, they're my fellow sisters in Zion. I want to make sure they're doing okay.
Yeah, and that you all work together.
Yeah. So...
The young women in our ward. The young women in our ward sang that this last Sunday.
As sisters in Zion.
Yeah, they did that. We are as the armies of Helaman, that whole duet thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Women were good. Way to go, women.
But the men not so
much. Young men were rough. Really rough.
Future singles ward choir members?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The women and the men.
Nice. New York Times. Which is great. Look, I've got three articles here. None of them are from Utah.
Oh, that's fine.
Couple natural. No, I know it's fine. I think it's awesome.
I think that's awesome. That's great.
It's great.
That is celestial.
It's Ramiumptum worthy. Does that work?
No.
Why not?
Because it has nothing to do with you. It's not you doing it.
That's true.
Well, I guess you did find it. Yeah, it's Ramiumptum worthy, but I would prefer celestial. That's celestial, because you can't get any better than that. Dude, that's so Kolob. How about that?
I love that.
Dude, you're Kolob.
This is Kolob. So, New York Times. In only 9 months, Book of Mormon earns back its Broadway costs. The acclaimed musical Book of Mormon has recouped its roughly $11.4 million in just 9 months of performances, its producers said on Tuesday. Mormon is the first commercially successful musical from the 2010 to 2011 season. Since starting preview performances in mid-February, Mormon has – I like how they just call it Mormon.
Yeah, Mormon.
Mormon has broken the weekly box office record at the Eugene O'Neill Theater 22 times. The show is regularly among the five highest growing production, grossing productions on Broadway in spite of the in spite of running in a theater with hundreds of fewer seats than most major musical theaters. And it goes on, but I have a question, and there were a couple of commenters with the same question I had. Is when a business is so strong, why do they think 9 months is not that long? And they compared it to what Spider-Man, the movie,
the musical.
Earned. No, oh, the musical?
Yeah, talking about the musical. Yeah, well, here's the deal. So people don't realize it, but these musicals cost a ton. I mean, in that case, at what, 11.4, I think you said? So it takes a long time. If you're selling tickets, even at a couple hundred bucks a night, and you only have, I think the Eugene O'Neill Theater holds 1,000 people. So you're only making, what, 20,000, if I'm doing math right there. You're only making 20,000 bucks a night, but you have to not only try and recoup the costs that have been paid out to do the musical, but also pay the people and what they're doing that night and working salaries forward. So you have the overhead that you have to pay back and the current costs. So 9 months is really good, especially
okay,
when you
that makes more sense.
Especially when you consider that most musicals don't make their money back.
That does make more sense because I think that we compare it, or I compare it to movies,
right?
Which you do. You have theaters everywhere,
right?
I mean, even Pocatello, Idaho, has movie theaters,
right?
So.
And you can make, you know, Twilight made its money back in its first day, I think, in its first, like, four showings
or
something like that.
We're so used to hearing that in a weekend, Twilight can make $11 million or whatever. Okay. Makes
more sense. Just different kind of avenue.
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting. We only got a couple more minutes left. I want to make sure we leave plenty of time for Chet Cannon. So I don't know. Maybe I'll save this, what it's like to be a non-Mormon at BYU. I'll save that for next week's articles of news. So make sure you listen for that. A couple things. Mitt Romney, ever drank beer, you think?
Well, do you want me to really say, or do you want me to play along?
Did you think before you knew?
No.
Yep. He has smoked?
Once.
Yep, as a teenager. And then he talked about what music he has on his iPad. It's coming in an upcoming People magazine interview that he did. And he talks all about what it is to be Mormon. He says, and I thought this was cool, they said, if you could clear up one misunderstanding about Mormonism, what would it be? And Romney said that he would choose to highlight the church's emphasis on Jesus Christ. Great article there, and I'm sure that the article in People will be fantastic too.
And
so check that out.
That's my favorite publication right there too.
The People magazine?
Oh yeah, I love it. It's up there with Us Weekly and Star.
Yeah.
But honestly, really, I really do like them.
Oh no, I know.
I mean, I feel a little guilty, so I don't purchase them. So I just read them in the checkout lines.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while when I'm going on an airplane, it's my little guilty pleasure. Or a pedicure or a nightly read or something that I know.
But what you don't know about Lauren, though, is that she buys her groceries one item at a time so she can get through the entire issue of the magazine.
Or when my mom says, will you go to the grocery store with me? I don't want to go alone. I say, okay. And then I just read them all.
Yeah.
Only if I don't watch TV, but I keep up with celebrities through magazines.
Only if you buy me a magazine, Mom. I'll come with you if you buy me a magazine.
Light smut. But, I mean, they're really trashy.
It's like smeh. That's how light smut it is.
Smeh.
This is interesting. And then I've got help for you.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
Because you haven't. Okay.
But listen,
we'll try
you married yet? I will continue to offer helpful words of advice until you get the ring on your finger.
Okay.
This is in Washington State. A patrol trooper says his own agency is discriminating against him because he's white and a Mormon, and now he's suing. In a recently filed lawsuit, Sergeant David Davis says the state patrol took adverse employment action against him based on his race and religion. Get ready for this. This is interesting. The News Tribune reports that WSP, the Washington State Patrol, launched an internal investigation against Divis for allegedly making disparaging remarks about black troopers. In the suit, Divis contends someone made disparaging remarks about him, including a comment that he must have discriminated against certain troopers because his church does not allow blacks to attend. The suit goes on to say that Divis was not treated the same way as fellow employees of different races. In response to the allegations, the State Patrol issued a statement saying, we've acted in good faith throughout this process and are confident that the court will determine we've acted lawfully. Divis was originally demoted, but then a judge reinstated him and now he's on paid leave. So they're still working that out. but it sounds to me like someone said, well, I think because you're Mormon, you say things about, you say racist things against black people because you didn't allow the blacks to have the priesthood. How dare you? Oh, I can't believe he would say that. And this guy never said any of those things.
Huh. Oh, my.
Lastly, you got your pen? Here are three questions.
Let me find the original page I was taking notes on. I don't even know where it is now.
Get a new page. Three questions that are going to make dating easier for you.
Three questions. What we should do is just have people follow me on my dates, see what I'm doing wrong. Okay, go ahead.
I can tell you. I've told you what you're doing wrong. Now I'm just
trying to... We had a date recorded. Do you remember that? They videotaped you coming to my door and picking me up.
Oh, yeah. For
KUTV or something.
Oh, for that sad thing I did.
Yeah.
I still got a copy of that. That was sad.
Maybe not. I'm going to be going.
So here's your questions. Number one, where are you from?
You're supposed to ask that?
Yep.
Okay.
Because having a geographic landmark helps you to create a mental picture of the other person and their personal history.
Oh, this is for online dating?
No, this is for when you meet them. This is for talking to them.
Oh, yeah. That's why people in Utah always ask which high school people go to. And people that are not from Utah move here get all upset about it. Like they feel left out or something. What is the big deal with high school? But it puts a location.
Yeah,
a geographical location. Oh.
A few follow-up questions might include... What brought you here? Which of your friends and family still live back home?
What brought you here? Okay, I'm
so that's
notes.
Question. That's question number one. Question number two: where do you live now?
Where do you?
The mental picture
live
continues to build
now.
With this, and as you reciprocate about yourself, the feeling of being strangers begins to diminish. Follow up the second question with: what types of things do you like to do?
Okay, I got it. Is this seriously? Where was this published?
This is from someone who has a PhD in family studies.
Do people really not know? I just have to be sincere here for a second, and I'll let you finish. Do people really not know that you can ask someone where they're from on a date?
I don't think that people. I think that there are people who are socially crippled and who don't know what to do. Yes.
Keep going.
Number three. Where do you hope to be in 10 years?
The 10-year plan.
Yeah, these three questions open you and the other person up to one another while not prying too deeply into one another's lives. Most importantly, they provide you with enough information to establish the beginnings of a relationship or help you discern how much, if any, more interaction you'd like to have together. So, Lauren, three questions. Where are you? Where do you live now?
And what brought you here?
Where do you hope to be in 10 years?
Well, I actually have a hard time with the where do you want to be in 10 years question on a first date. I don't know if that's
appropriate.
Yeah. So as a female, if you're asking a guy that on the first date, he might be like, oh, what? She's testing me.
She's sizing
already?
Me up.
Yeah. And if a guy asked me that, I wouldn't really want to tell him because the answer would be, oh, I'd like to be a mother and have a few kids. And that would freak him out.
Right.
So really, I just don't like, I think that PhD person's wrong.
You hear that, Ron J. Hammond? Do you hear that?
That Lauren is not a wise question for either gender on the first date.
Okay.
Maybe the third.
Give us your feedback, theculturalhall.com. We'll be back with Chet Cannon in the second block of the Cultural Hall.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. To book your shoot today.
That's right. It's time now for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and joining us here in the Cultural Hall, let's see how I do, Lauren Johnson.
Go for it.
I'm just trying to find out, so you know. Well, here's the deal. Here's what I know about
you. Someone's got to help you out.
Here's what I know. Chet Cannon from Utah went to high school with you. True or false?
True.
Okay.
No, false.
We didn't go
false.
To
false.
But you knew him in high. But you knew him in high school.
Well,
I've got it recording where you said something about you and he in high school.
No, you don't.
I do. Yes,
I have something about us growing up in the same ward.
Oh, that's what it is. You're right. Okay, grew up in the same ward, but you didn't go to the same high school.
We went to the same high school, but at different times.
He's younger than I am.
Oh,
And you.
So when I said, did you go to the same high school, you could actually accurately say, yes, you
did. But you said, did you go to high school together? Oh.
That's what you said, Richie.
Okay. Oh, I see how this is going to be, Chet. Also,
you've got the Federal Heights ward over on one side and you on the other.
Yeah,
so yeah,
I didn't make the credit check to be in that ward, so I apologize.
One day.
Also,
not a lot of people do.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
you'd recognize Chet Cannon from Real World Brooklyn.
Yes, sir.
Where you see him characteristically, categorized as a bromance.
Yeah, that's with my buddy Ryan.
Yeah, with your buddy Ryan, who was in the military for 3 years, and we'll get into that. Yep. Also, and this is how much I know about Chet.
Keep going.
He's ticked right now. He's ticked.
Am I?
He didn't sleep very well last night, and he's ticked.
Yeah, it's true. You read my tweet.
So how about that, Lauren Johnson, for an intro?
Well done. I didn't sleep last night either. Let me ask, was it because of the wind?
It was 100% because of the wind, and I thought people were breaking into my house, so I was like worried.
So did I. I woke up at 5, and then I decided to Skype my ex-boyfriend, and then ended up. It wasn't
oh, there
good.
You go.
The guy who...
you should not be doing it at 5 a.m.
Not that guy, the other guy.
The nice guy.
The guy who got away.
The nice guy. Yeah.
You?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that is me.
So, Chet, other things that as I was reading your bio, you're born and raised in Salt Lake?
Yes, sir.
9 kids in your family, is that
there
right?
There would be 10. I have 9 siblings.
9 siblings, so 10 altogether. Mm-hmm. Let's talk briefly about that.
What do you want to know?
Where do you fall in 10 kids?
I'm the 8th, so Okay. Just a younger brother and a younger sister. Everybody's older.
And how is that growing up in a big family? I had a family of 5, and we were like, that's a station wagon family, but you have 10, and that's...
Yeah, we had a big
semi
blue Suburban.
U-Haul.
Yeah. No, it's really crazy. It makes it very fun for the holidays, but, you know, a lot of fights, but despite all the arguing, I would say that we're very, very close in it. And a lot of people don't understand how that works. And the bottom line is, like, nobody really lives in Utah aside from myself right now and then my younger sister. Everybody else is gone, but I don't know. We stay in touch on Facebook, thankfully, and, I don't know, Gmail, mass emails. So, okay. I don't know. It's pretty good. I'm happy with the fam.
And you, according to everything I read online, you're really striving to do your own TV show. And that kind of has come about now at this point because you do the after – real world like review shows, right?
Yeah. I do the after shows, and basically you just rehash kind of the episode, and it's very dramatic. Sometimes it's a little obnoxious, you know, just some of the fights you can't believe that people can hate each other so bad. I mean, I didn't really hate most of the people, well, a couple of people from my cast, but
this particular
season nobody gets along. It's unbelievable, but I mean, it's very fun to be a part of.
How did that come about? How did you get to be able to do that?
The hosting?
Yeah.
So basically, when I was on my season, we had this current season and mine, we had the same executive producer, and he knew that I wanted to get into hosting because I tried to do a radio show up at the U when I first started going to school.
On K-Ute?
On K-Ute Radio.
There it is.
And we got shut down and kicked off like every time because apparently our content was a little too graphic. I don't really think it was. But we didn't have a script or anything, and I just kind of would go in and start prank calling and doing illegal things by their terms. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I wanted to do that one day, and my producer said, he's like, you know, go get some experience. So I started, you know, working in New York for a little bit, and I was slipping away.
What did you
free.
Do in New York?
Basically, anybody who would let me go interview anybody, pseudo celebs, real celebs, I would just go do it for free just to develop a reel. And then I got something I was pretty content with, moved out to LA, started working for a company, Young Hollywood. And they score pretty incredible interviews. And then from that, people started to take me a little more seriously. And then they gave me the opportunity to actually start hosting after shows, starting with Real World Vegas. And now, I don't know, they brought me back. So
is it things – you'll have to forgive me that I haven't watched the
– Not a problem.
The after show.
I actually don't really watch them myself.
Yeah?
Well, no, it's just – you're your own worst critic and your best critic, however you want to look at it. But I don't know. I have a hard time – It's like when you hear your voice on camera for the first time, you don't like it. I've never really liked the way I sound.
Mm-hmm. So. I've never really liked the way you sounded either.
No. Yeah, no, I know. So that works.
No, so you land that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back then a little bit further. You're a kid from Utah. You want to host a show one day, and then Real World comes about. How did it go to get you into the real world? Were you like, oh, yeah, I always want to be on that. You watched it growing up.
No, it was more like this. So... Now we delve into the more personal aspects, which drove me to reality TV. So I was dating a girl, and we'll leave her name out because they tried to sue me once. So I was dating a girl. We thought about getting married. Things didn't go so well.
Her
so,
or you?
What was that?
I say it didn't go well. Was it her or was it you?
Because for us, it was Richie.
Yeah, because
yeah,
for me,
well,
it, yeah. Dude, for Lauren and I, I was like, crazy!
It's a subject of great debate. Basically, what happened is this family had kind of determined a time when it might work out, and then a week later, they're like, oh, that's not going to work out, and I was just kind of thrown for a loop. So in an effort to piss the family off, I tried out for the show down at Area 51. I think I stood out because I was the only one who maintained a conservative base. Everybody went in saying, like, thinking that saying I'm a Jack Mormon is really going to blow these people away. And
right.
Because they were doing that, I was the only one who really stood out in my group. I don't think I was exceptional. I was just the only one who was kind of different that day. So
because you were an active Mormon? Or
yeah, because I was definitely active. You know, I showed up in a Sex Pistols t-shirt, and the guy told me, he's like, you kind of just look like a walking contradiction because everything about you says anarchy, but then again, you're like super conservative. So honestly, I think that was it. And then I ended up making it on the show. We broke up.
Broke up because of the show?
I'd like to say my brother.
Yeah, essentially.
Wasn't it my brother?
It was. Her brother actually filmed and edited my video while I was sleeping on their couch.
Yep.
Because I didn't know how to do any of that at the time. I paid him $100.
Nice. What did you do? What did you do in your audition video? And is there somewhere that we can find it so that we could share it with people that
and
might
actually,
be listening to this?
I don't believe I have it because I never got a copy of it. There may be a disc floating around. Basically, I went to the Sigma Chi house. I'm a member of that fraternity. And all it was me hazing pledges with a couple of my cousins. Uh-huh. And it actually put me on probation with the national chapter. And they had to strip the videos off of MTV, off of – I can't remember what it was because I was wearing like, you know, our Norman Shield, which is a white cross. They found out associated with me. And then I got in a lot of trouble actually with my fraternity. But that's all it was hazing.
A walking contradiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your fraternity hates you. Your girlfriend dumps you. And then
she dumped me, and then I dumped her, and then we got I don't even remember how it's like all a big haze and a blur.
But you know, you're better for
now,
it.
I'm happy for her, and actually she should have maybe have had her baby by now.
Isn't that always how it has to go though too? She's moved on. She's got a family. I'm happy for her. And whether or not you're really happy for her or not, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm happy for her.
Well, yeah, for the sake of radio, I am thrilled for her. I'm not sad that I don't have a kid.
Yeah.
No.
Because you're doing all these things, and
yeah,
that would
I wouldn't say disarray. There's just a lot of really fun things that I want to do, and it's not really conducive to family life at this moment, and that's fine by me. I mean, a lot of my family members, they didn't get married till late, and that's kind of how I see it. I mean, I've got to figure myself out.
Well, hurry, you're getting older.
Yeah. I am.
How old are you, Chet?
I'm 26.
Okay.
23, relatives.
Before you know it, you're going
to
be 30. Watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It happens overnight like it did for Lauren, and now she's like, oh, geez. Anybody? Anyone?
There's a Jack for every Jill.
Hopefully.
Actually, I don't support dating in Utah anymore. Like, I'm totally opposed to it. I've been stood up numerous times in the past month. It's been pretty ridiculous. And all with, like, the lamest excuses. One being malaria, another being surgery they didn't know they were having until that day. And then
that was
plastic surgery then. There's an opening and I can...
Really, malaria?
Exactly. That's what I was on malaria.
So I almost believe that because it's so far-fetched.
Yeah, it's running rampant in the Salt Lake
City
streets.
I have to make a point, though. There are so many, especially LDS people, well, no, non-LDS people too, in Utah, that say, I can't handle dating in Utah, and yet... Why doesn't this whole group of people that can't handle dating in Utah date each other?
Right.
No, that makes sense. Maybe we need to start a new social network of those people.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I would
and
honestly
what would you
say,
call that network?
I don't know. Because I wouldn't say any of us are particularly desperate. It's just
it's different.
The shaft and we're pissed.
Yeah, you get a little jaded. You get a little. I remember.
Undoubtedly.
President of that company before I got married, and the way that I met my wife is fluky and weird, and we both go, "What? It must be meant to be because
this
doesn't make a bit of sense."
No,
met on Facebook. You know,
I've set up a couple of dates and they've actually gone through, but again, not in Utah. And yeah. I think Utah has the prettiest girls. They just I don't know. They've got different ideals, not moral ones. I don't know.
Let's get into that in a minute. Yeah. I want to finish with the real world stuff. So
oh, yeah.
you find that you're going on the real world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'm Mormon. There wasn't any other Mormons on the cast, right? There was another conservative person, but not Mormon.
Yeah. No, there was definitely not a Mormon. And that had me a little worried because I think I'm a little more colorful than even I displayed on TV. But, you know, when you're going to be looked at as kind of the voice of the church, and I would not really call me like, you know, I try and be a good LDS person. I really do. I try to do what's right, but everybody screws up. And,
sure,
you know, it's going to be showcased on TV. So I tried to elevate myself. But it's, you know, it's difficult. You're with a lot of crazy people. And
you learn the magic of editing.
Yeah. And they're not scared to be themselves. And so, you know, but you're trying to be a good person to, you know, cast a better light. Because the church is more important to me than my own self. And I wanted that to come across.
And you got some flack for it, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. And
what were the things that people were saying to you? And it, was it by emails or was it when you came back home or what
feedback? Some people, it's been kind of obnoxious, actually, on Twitter or Facebook. And it actually comes primarily from LDS people. I think the people who aren't LDS are very kind. And they're like, you know, thank you for sticking up for what you believe in. And, you know, I don't think I was doing anything extraordinary. And so it's like, oh, thanks. You know, that's just kind of who I am. But then a lot of LDS people have been like, you know, I don't think you did it right. And like, are you inactive? They're always asking me if I'm inactive because sometimes, you know, I'll write a swear word because, again, I'm not perfect.
Sure.
Sometimes I do swear, but I would hardly say that would merit inactivity in the church.
Oh, well, no. Swearing is actually a sign of inactivity.
Yeah,
that's exactly how you can tell.
I get kind of annoyed with those questions, but...
But to be expected, you know, if someone in their mind, correct or not,
yeah,
has a vision of, okay, a Mormon who should be on TV should be this. This is how I am. This is how this person is. And that's not how they're acting.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I mean,
sort of how Utah reacted to John Huntsman's statement. You know, but you're a representative of the church. So, you know.
Him talking about being a hybrid, you know, his hybrid religion and just who he is. You kind of go, wait, but John...
Yeah.
Claim being a Mormon. You know, it's Mormon time. Let's
represent.
And he's not the same as Mitt Romney.
No, he's not. I'm not sure why Huntsman even claims to be more. I mean, yeah, he was baptized, but I mean, I've known them. I like him. I mean, we can talk rock and roll all day, but I would hardly say that he's an active person. So I don't even know why he's running under the Mormon card. Like, I would think it would play negatively toward him, but.
I have a guess. I'm assuming that his membership, he still has a membership.
Oh, I would
so
think
if
so.
You were to say he wasn't, then all of a sudden people would be like, he's lying.
I just, yeah.
He is.
I mean, his kids kind of mock. I've read some of the tweets from the girls, and I find them mocking the church at every chance they get, and so it's interesting.
So let me ask you about this then. Yeah, you get home from Real World, you're trying to figure yourself out, you get this thing from the after show Real World. So what's the plan now then? You're doing this, you go to California every other week, every week?
We've actually wrapped up all the after shows right now, so the new season will be coming out in the next few months. I mean, they can pump out like two or three seasons. It's pretty incredible. So I'll do that. But in the meantime, I'm actually finishing up with a bow tie line. That's kind of my main focus right now.
A bow tie?
Yeah. We do different accessories like bow ties, scarves, pocket squares.
Do you do an ascot?
Well, I mean, you can call them bandanas, whatever you want. They can be worn kind of like an ascot. It's a little more, well, it's not as traditional as an ascot. I mean, that's very pompous in your face. And,
yeah.
Well,
That's why I love an ascot.
Exactly.
Lauren doesn't know what an ascot is.
I do. I'm thinking Austin Powers, right?
Not too many people have bought into that.
Don't
so
tell me.
The bandana tied properly is a nice segue to then go fully into ascot production.
It'll happen, just like the mullet happened.
We have a plan for ascot production.
You've got to ease your way into it. It's a bold statement.
So wait, why that? Because when I see bow ties, I think of a couple of things. This is my mind. I think of there's always that one guy in your ward who wears a bow tie.
Oh, 100%.
Right? There's typically only the one guy.
Whatever. Yeah. No.
Jameis.
My dad.
Your father was an avid bow tie
yeah.
wearer.
You know, you know what I'm saying?
He rocked it. It's like...
No. I'm not saying...
Okay,
I'm not
keep going.
I'm
finish,
not saying
finish,
negatively. I'm saying in every ward, there is one guy who wears a bow tie.
Hopefully more.
And you know
right,
that guy?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Hopefully more.
But you know that guy. You know that's Sam the bow tie wearer or
yeah.
whatever, right? So you have that.
Smith.
Or... dentists. Those are the only guys. Those are the only two that I know.
My father's a dentist, and he has never worn a bow tie. I don't even think he'd wear my own. You know,
I love bow ties.
Oh, they're the most incredible piece, this accessory that you can actually wear. And that's the thing.
It's very like actually Wall Street. I think it's very distinguished.
It's an outward expression of an inner conviction that you don't care what anybody else thinks.
And right.
That's beautiful.
And you're classy. I think bow ties are classy.
Yeah.
But no clip-ons, I refuse.
No.
You got to tie it yourself,
and Chet,
right?
Chet, you do rock the bow ties.
I try.
And the penny loafers.
I try.
He has legitimate penny loafers on right now with a penny in them.
These ones have three.
And it's socks
a little
pink.
Ambitious.
Now I see.
I'm a huge fan of the suspenders as well. That kind of go with that whole bow tie thing.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it is. I'm
throw
not mocking it. I love a bow tie. I feel like I'm having
who
a
who doesn't. And you know, we're easing our way in.
We want a
full blown accessory line.
So how does
with
that?
Every guy I date, I try to throw in a bow tie. Want to wear this? Never works.
Really?
She's coming after you, Chet. Watch out.
Hey.
Cougar. Wow. but why bow ties? I'm trying to wrap my head into who and what exactly Chet is, because here's what I know.
Yeah.
Guy who wants to be on a reality TV show. He's got a great personality, and now he wants to make bow ties. Like
it was because of MTV, and I am very grateful for MTV. They've been really cool to me, and you know, giving me work. But here's the thing. I started wearing bow ties kind of on the show. I wore them for probably a year or two before the show, but then a few times I brought them out. But randomly, they always edited me wearing the bow ties. Like, that became a part of me on the show, despite not really wearing them that much. So it was kind of like synonymous with me, and everyone's like, wherever I go, they're always curious, like, why don't you have your bow tie? Like, I wear them 100% of the time.
It's your trademark.
Right.
Yeah, and it just kind of happened that way. So it's something that I ran with, and whenever I usually do interviews, I try and wear them. Sometimes they don't let me on TV because they say it's too dressed up.
Really?
Yeah.
They say
you
have to dress it down.
Yeah, like for the after shows, I try and wear them every time. Like, I'll come out in a suit, but because, you know, it's, I don't know, they try and keep it very casual, it doesn't flow well on TV,
they say.
Have
them take a look at the Urban Outfitters catalog. They're full of bow ties and it's casual.
Trust me. I mean,
yeah. It sounds like he's had this argument a few times before.
Yeah, I have tried a lot. Just show up on stage.
What is your bow tie line called?
It is called Chester Pink.
How come?
Because my name is Chester and I really like the color pink.
His socks are pink.
My phone case is pink. I don't know.
Walking contradiction.
I really like it. And so we're doing something cool. Like all the bow ties, you know, they have two different styles of silk. You know, we have one that's kind of fun, and then the back is fun too because it's pink. And so you always see that shining through. Because the problem with some
ties, like true colors,
yeah,
shining
aside
through.
From Burberry, you really don't know who it is. I want people to know what tie they're wearing. I want them to know that it's, you know, a Chester pink tie, and that's why we're always kind of doing the pink silk. And there will be variations of it, you know, for summer and fall and whatnot, but you're always going to see a little bit of pink.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I love it. It's been really fun. But, you know, with that comes a lot of viral marketing, which is the way I want to approach this. I mean, you can do it a very conventional way, but the beauty is you don't really have to pay for advertising sometimes. In this day and age, I mean, you can blow up kind of overnight. And we're doing a lot of – I just invest in a lot of camera equipment. It's not cheap. And so I've got a lot of ideas of how I want to market this more in a guerrilla sense. And hopefully, you know, it works.
Well,
you're just out money.
Maybe you could get Richie wearing a bow tie.
I was just going to say, I'll hop online. Chesterpink.com, is that where I would find it?
It's built out, but I haven't even launched it yet.
Okay. Coming back in the third break, then, now I want to get into dating. I want to get into being a single 26-year-old guy who's Mormon, who lives part of his time in California, who is on the real world, all that kind of stuff. Talk about maybe we'll get into a little chastity stuff, maybe some – I don't know. I don't know where
we'll just
see
where
it
takes us.
Talk about our mission prep class and see what he thinks we did wrong.
Oh yeah,
what we did wrong is we didn't go that often.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. It was really early, and that sounds bad, but it was really early.
We'll get into that in just a minute. Coming up in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
That's right. It's the third block of the Cultural Hall. Joining with us, Chet Cannon, who's more than just Real World. I get it. I know he's much bigger than that. He's Chester Pink.
I'm trying to
That's
be.
Right.
I really wish you went by Chester. I like Chester
a lot
more
of
than
call
Chet.
Me Chester. So I mean, at ease. Okay. Say whatever you
so,
want.
So again, since I have the privilege of knowing Chet when he was younger and he was friends with my brothers, I know that you didn't always like your name.
No, I didn't. Because I mean, it just so happens to rhyme with molester and then
and pester.
I mean, that just doesn't sit well with a
but you
third
can appreciate
grader.
It now because I have always liked your name, and I remember hearing it from my brothers when you didn't like your name, thinking he's got to own that name. It's an awesome name.
Took me a little while.
So now you're doing it. Way
but
to go!
It was my grandfather's name, and I obviously respect and love him. Rest his soul. but you know, now I can definitely appreciate it, and I hopefully will have a boy one day and pass the name on to him. It really
name.
Actually developed my character, to be honest, because I used to like want to fight kids if they even called me, because they tried to make fun of me, and then I would get angry and shove them. And I don't consider myself a violent person, but for some reason,
growing up, I was Rick. So there's plenty of things that rhyme with Rick that kids would show.
Yeah,
tick. Thanks.
Ticks.
Yeah. But when I went to college, similar kind of thing. I changed my name to Richie. Richie T, and then it was like, yeah, this is who I am and what I want to be.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird how that kind of stuff works out.
Yep.
So let me take that religious twist then. You know, they always talk about saying, take upon you the name of Christ. See that?
Undoubtedly.
See that segue?
That was good.
So let me ask you, got to be hard being, you know, being on the Real World, being doing this after show, being in Los Angeles and going to New York and all these things to be able to stay true to the principles of the church.
It is. Definitely.
So how do you do it?
I don't know. I mean, the bare necessity, you just prayer. I mean, that's literally what gets you through the day. Some things are really easy for me to say no to, though. Like, I've never, ever been tempted to drink, smoke, do anything like that. I mean, it's just like, so when people say, oh, that's great that you can do it, I don't think it's great. I don't consider myself great because it's not a temptation. So it's, I mean, like, it would be like, I wouldn't eat feces. Like,
yeah.
That's how easy it is for me to say no. So it's,
wow,
like,
really?
I might.
But that's
a
good comparison. Yeah.
No, but I get what you're saying.
That's how easy it is to say no. And so, you know, it's just not hard to be around. You know, girls, there are a lot of easy women out there. You know, just plain and simple. And they'll make advances. And you have to keep your eye on the prize. I mean, what's more important to you? This temporal pleasure or, you know, from an eternal perspective, happiness.
So what is the prize?
I don't know. A woman,
well,
we are Mormon.
Yeah.
No, a woman who, you know, respects me and I respect her and hopefully a family. I mean, that's really kind of what I want out of life.
10 kids?
No. Well, I don't think I have time. Well, if she's young enough, maybe I do.
But would you want?
If I could support them, you know, I'm not opposed to that. It's not something I'm really planning for. 10 kids, I don't think I could handle it, to be
It's a rare thing these days.
My
even
mom
more rare
is a
than...
saint. I honestly don't know how she did it. A few kids.
And she's beautiful, his mother.
Yeah.
She is. You would never guess.
You would never guess.
And she had 10 kids. I mean.
Yeah, well, no, I get what you're saying.
People lose themselves along the way.
And not your mom. At the risk of sounding a little bit of that creeper, I would love to see a picture of your mother.
She made it on the episode 2 of Real World Brooklyn.
When they came out and visited you, right?
Yeah.
See? Take that, Lauren Johnson.
No, she's just I did my research. Adorable blonde girl.
So not necessarily the 10 kids, want to have a family.
Mm-hmm.
What's your 10-year plan?
Thanks for bringing up that from the articles of news. No.
Do you want to know it?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Let's do.
I don't know that I do know. I mean, basically what I want to do, I mean, there are a few, YouTube is really huge for me. So there are actually two kids that I'm kind of teamed up with and we've invested in quite a bit of camera equipment. We're trying to do it properly. It's just free advertisement. I want to continually produce, create. I think I'm an artistic person, and that's the easiest outlet. It's, you know, it's free, and you can really develop a fan base. And then from there, do whatever you want. I mean, I want to do the bow ties. I want to continually host. There's so many things I want to do. Get married along the way. I guess I don't have a 10-year plan. It's just continually create.
Do you have one thing? You don't have anything that you'd go, now I've arrived?
No, I don't.
You don't have this thing. I mean, you'll always constantly be doing projects, and you don't ever want to be stale or stagnant or anything. But is there one thing ever that you'll be like, and now as I'm MTV VJ every day, now I've arrived, or now I'm hosting the Academy Awards, now I've arrived. You don't have anything that you go, you know, if I could just this thing, that would be my arrival.
For me, it is when I can host something with Richie T.
See? She's arrived.
Yeah.
I don't care about marriage anymore because I have arrived.
She got a co-host. I don't know. I guess you could say I'm a malcontent. I don't know if I'll ever arrive. I hope to. But it's just, it's one of those things. Whenever I do something, I don't almost like it after it's finished. Even though I thought, oh man, this is so awesome.
Tell me about it.
But then I don't like it 10 minutes later. That's my own personal problem. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing.
Is it like that with girls?
No. I hope not. Here's the thing. With girls, I mean, if you treat them right and you kind of treat the relationship how, I guess, our Heavenly Father would like us to, it tends to work out. But even if I kiss a girl on the first date, I'm kind of over it.
Right?
I don't know why. It's not like I don't appreciate the game, and I know a lot of people do, and they want you to chase. But I find that, you know, whenever I approach something and do it properly, show a little bit of respect. I mean, it's gonna work out a lot better than if it's just objective and.
No, I get that. Whenever I'd kiss on the first date, done. But if I'd wait a little while and have it mean something and have it be built up to something, those were the people that I ended up dating for a while.
Lauren
and I kissed on the first date.
No, we did not.
And it can work. It can.
I'm kidding.
I hope to be more old-fashioned in my future endeavors with women.
Do you want to get married then?
Absolutely. Absolutely I want to get married.
Mormon girl, Mormon family.
Does that matter to you?
It does. I mean, it does. Because, I mean, the bottom line is religion will always drive a wedge between people. And it doesn't matter what religion you are. But if one person believes in this and the other doesn't, I mean, that's going to be really hard. I mean, when our Heavenly Father, that's number one to me. So if somebody didn't believe it or didn't take it as seriously, that would be a problem. And then for your kids, you know, that can obviously create a problem. I want them to grow up being happy. I've been pretty happy. I mean, I think, you know, people can bash the church as much as they want, but the bottom line is we have really good principles and good ideals. And I mean, who can't appreciate their knowing that their kid, if they obey the commandments, is not coming home intoxicated or doing drugs or having sex? I mean, it's not like sex is a bad thing, but getting somebody pregnant, that's a bad thing. I mean, if you don't want the kid, I mean, that causes a lot of problems. STDs. Right. They're just good principles.
Yeah, and even if none of those things exist, even if not an STD or not a pregnancy, worrying about having an STD or getting pregnant is part of that whole reason why I believe the church says no premarital sex.
I mean, what a gross thing to think about. If like, oh, what if I got a girl pregnant and I'm not ready? I mean, that's freaky to think about.
So let me ask you this. Some might say, and I won't say who some is, but thank you for your email. Some might say that you would be the epitome of what they talk about in the gentlemen who aren't trying to get married, but instead are just doing their own thing.
Maybe.
So, right, so now. how would you react to that? You know, President Monson's talked about, you know, that there's a lot of guys who just want to hang out and want to do their thing and are putting off the seriousness of trying to find that.
They don't understand that there's 31-year-old women around that really, really, really want to date them.
Really, really,
really,
really,
really.
And this emailer has based their opinion on what? On my Facebook? On my Twitter? Exactly. So, I mean, let me turn my phone off. Wow. That's a really difficult thing to say because – it's not like – I mean, I try and go on dates, and I do go on dates, but sometimes they don't work out. Yes, I would say that I'm being a little selfish right now, but it's not – I know that I can't give to a relationship what it deserves, so I think that's very unselfish of me. I'm not ready to get married, and, you know, some people are. And yes, the church says, you know, just – you can get married, and you can figure out your financial obligation along the way. I don't see it that way. For me, I don't, and – is that me disobeying? Maybe it is, but I know how I kind of want to do it. And you have to be true to yourself. And I know that there's a time for me to get married. It's definitely not now.
Yeah, let me get your back, because I feel a lot the same in that I could not have been married, not even a day before the day that I got married. It was it was so much for me. I want to do this. And it wasn't even that I had a list of things like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. But it was like, this doesn't feel right. No. I can't do this at this point. I still can't do this at this point. And then, you know, even the day before I went and bought an engagement ring, I was like, I can't do this today. I'll have to do this tomorrow. Got it. And then from then, it's been that everything has worked out the way that it was supposed to. But there were plenty of people who I dated before my wife who I was, you know, now as I look back, or then I was like, this is great. I sure wish that I felt, you know, that this could work out right now. But for whatever reason, this isn't what's going on. So not me attacking you, but there's that.
No,
email.
And that's fine. I mean, people don't realize the amount of anxiety that I have. I mean, with a startup and whatnot, that's really hard. I don't sleep. I'm always thinking about something. And so it wouldn't be fair to me to even get into a serious relationship right now. It wouldn't, because I don't know that I'm right with myself. I mean, I'm happy, but it's just I've got so much that I want to do.
As a woman, and I joke about it a lot, but I can actually also have both your backs. There is a time and a place for everyone, and there's a place where you are. That's why everyone says timing is everything, and that is true.
Yeah, for sure.
So
what is your calling right now? Do you have a calling?
In church?
Uh-huh.
And why not?
Yeah, how come?
I think the reason is because I haven't been stationary. So it's like I switch where I don't even know where my records are right now, to be honest. I don't know if they're still in New York, because I don't think I ever transferred them to L.A. Because even when I was in L.A., living out there for a year, I was bouncing around. And this may seem bad, but if you're going to a singles ward, there's got to be someone that I'm kind of interested in. And I know the church is really against that right now, but I understand that, you know, we're going there to take the sacrament, whatever. But I thought the point of a singles ward was to find somebody wanted to date. And sometimes I go and I'm really unimpressed with some of the people. And it's not on a superficial level. Sometimes I just think the girls are kind of lame.
You want to have a connection and they're not in that singles ward.
So sure. I bounce around a little bit.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think that is fair, because I think in a way the church does encourage dating within a singles ward.
What do you mean in a way? In every single way,
well,
it seems
like. Well, I guess in a way, because I also agree with Chet in a way that they say you should go to church to go to church, stop all this ward jumping nonsense. But at the same time, they do want us to meet, and because then they realize that those that don't meet by the time they're 31 are lost causes and just kick them out.
L.A. was disgusting. I mean, you have so many people who are like, oh, I want to be an actor. And that's great. I will never, ever talk badly about somebody pursuing their dream. I think everybody should do it. But because of that, they're always saying, well, I can't get locked down. It's bad for my career.
Yeah, I don't want to get locked
down.
You
don't have a career. And the people that do have careers, they're dating people. So clearly it's not like creating a hindrance for them to make money. So I don't believe in all that BS.
It's just that polite way. I don't want to get locked down. With you.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. But to be honest, I think that they feel that they're going to get, like, you know, cozy with some producer and get the easy way in at the expense of their morals. And I saw that a lot in L.A., and I thought it was disgusting. Everybody screwed up. But sometimes I find LDS people want to publicize it as if we're LDS, but we're doing this, too. That's not cool.
We're LDS, but we're cool kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, see, watch how cool this is that I do it. Do you have a calling that if you could pick one that you would be?
Primary. I mean, I feel that the people who are most important in shaping who I was, and it wasn't even at church, but I had a lot of Miss Nelson. You know Heston Nelson?
Oh, yeah. Sister.
Yeah, it was my second grade teacher, and she encouraged me to write. I love writing. I love it. And, you know, if I don't ever work in front of the camera, I'd probably be happy too, because I really love to create. And she encouraged that. And so there's so much you can do in those early developmental years to inspire somebody. I think it'd be cool to work with kids.
Cool.
That's really cool. What do you love most about your faith?
There's so many things that I love. Mostly it keeps me grounded, and it gives me something to look forward to. And, you know, when stuff goes bad in the world, I can always make sense of it because of the principles that I've learned, because of the scriptures, both the Bible, the Book of Mormon. I know how to make sense of things. And I feel sorry for people who don't have faith in God and don't believe that there's something better tomorrow, or that there's life after. I mean, how do you even deal with the passing of somebody if you don't think you'll see them again? I mean, that makes me sick. Like, it's just, I don't know. I have something to look forward to.
We ask at the end of these things for everyone to climb up on the Ramyumptum and just spout wherever people can find you on social media, where people can buy the Chester Pink ties, anything and everything that you want people to know about you or to follow you and everything like that. Share that with us right now.
Honestly, just go to my Twitter, because I tweet a lot, and I think it offends people because I tweet with such frequency. It's twitter.com/Chet, C-H-E-T underscore Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N. Everything you need to know is going to be there. The ties, you know, they're not out yet, but we have the site built up. It'll be up in a couple of weeks. We're actually shooting some of the photos on Saturday, so that's cool. And then, I mean, that has a link to Facebook, and then from there you can find me at YouTube's. And, yeah, but Twitter is sufficient.
So at Chet underscore Cannon.
Yes. Right? Chet Cannon was actually taken. I was pretty upset about that. And
I would be upset by that.
I don't like the underscore. Nobody likes that.
No, well, because you never know if it's an underscore or a space, and then you don't know what's going on.
Some
and
people
like,
don't know what an underscore is.
Yeah.
Like,
what, is that a hash? No, that's not a hash.
No, it's
not.
An underscore.
No, you did the thing on the below. we actually had to buy the at the Cultural Hall.
Did you really?
Yeah. We tracked it down and bought it.
But it was worth it to us, so we worked hard.
Yeah, so follow us on Twitter, at the Cultural Hall, jerks. No, I'm just kidding. You're not jerks.
I want to track down Chet Cannon.
Brothers and sisters, follow us.
Yeah, brother and sister jerks. Is that better? That's not better?
I don't know.
I don't mean jerks. People know I'm not being a jerk.
We love our listeners.
I absolutely do.
I know.
But I think they should follow us on Twitter.
100%.
Brothers and sisters.
Brothers and sisters.
Our listeners.
Our listeners.
Okay, well done. Sustained.
Anything else?
No. I'm trying to think of like something great.
What's your favorite primary song?
Oh, honestly, primary songs are my favorite. So many. Faith, I think, would be one of them.
Which one's that?
Faith often go
is knowing the sun will. Write that one.
A little off key there.
Yeah,
Jed.
Sure.
I often go walking. That's the.
I often go walking. Teach me
mother.
To walk and lie. I listen to primary songs all the time. Baptism. I love that one.
That one is. How does baptism go?
Jesus came.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
the Baptist.
Oh,
so
sure.
When do
so you
listen
come
to
after
primary
me for
songs?
Being up
you here. Listen to them all the time. When do you listen to them?
In the car. They're always on my iPod. They really are. I think they're the most like beautiful. I like traditional songs. I like the primary songs and I like the hymns. I don't really love EFY songs because they're like a disturbance.
Well, we won't tell you then about our EFY CD coming out.
No, that's the thing. If you keep it traditional, but like some people try and like jazz it up, wrap it up, make like I've heard those punk plays on LDS. Like, what's the point? Isn't it supposed to be reverent?
Some would say, hey, you know what? I like that it's this and it's my kind of music. And so they feel like they can connect spirituality with punk.
To each his own.
Yeah, for sure.
But didn't you listen to EFY on your mission?
No, we actually
really?
Couldn't listen to it.
Oh.
Where did you serve?
Portugal.
Oh, see.
See, I served 4 months in California.
Oh, Portugal.
And then the rest in Portugal. And the mission presidents were totally different. I mean, in California, as long as it wasn't taken away from the spirit, which people
justified, I'm sure, like crazy.
Good heavens. That was kind of the rule. And then over there, it was just everything before, like, what, the 16th century? I think it was. I think that was the rule. And then
and
Mormon Tabernacle Choir only.
We had a lot of Renaissance, a lot of Baroque.
Yeah. I mean, it was unreal. But.
So let's, last question that I want to ask you before we leave. A lot of opportunities to be around non-members. Have you ever had a chance to share the gospel with anyone?
Oh, people ask me all the time.
But I mean genuinely share the gospel.
As in sent them the missionaries or explain what you mean?
Or as in, you know, sat down and had maybe an open book discussion. Because, I mean, there are a lot of people that are like, oh, what is this Mormon? And it's like, well, we believe that. You know, that there was a prophet Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon came about. But I'm talking like
many opportunities.
And have any of those people ever joined the church?
Maybe. I have no idea. A lot of people come to me on Facebook, and I know that's not like a sit down, but we've had at length, like long discussions via Facebook, and they've come back at me with questions, and we, you know, just go at it that way. And I think it's pretty beautiful. And then when it tapers off, I wonder. They're thinking, oh, that sounds kind of nice, or if they're just done talking to me. I don't know, but...
I did post on the Cultural Hall on Facebook a YouTube video that Chet made about the church. Mm-hmm. So I know that you promote the church in other ways, too, beyond just talking one-on-one with people. It was your response to Jeffress.
Pastor Jeffress. Yeah, I just... I don't know.
The guy, for yeah. those who don't know, the guy who called the LDS religion a cult.
One of the guys.
Cult. Yeah, most recently. Yeah, most recently, it was Rick Perry's pastor, correct?
And why did you? Uh-huh, why did you do that? Why did you feel you wanted to do that?
I don't know. I think there's, you know, a lot, the church. I guess there's the turn the other cheek policy. Obviously, you can do that. Sometimes, for me, maybe that's the right thing. But knowing my character, I'm never one to turn the other cheek because it's not like I want a debate, but I like to set people straight if they're preaching falsehoods. That's hard for me to sit back and, you know, there's so many ways to teach. Sometimes you need to tell somebody. Sometimes you just need to turn the other cheek and then you're like, oh, wow, that's respectful. I like to tell them that it's not that way. And so that's really what it was. This guy was just going out and he sounded just absolutely ridiculous. It was the most unchristian thing to do. So I let him know that we indeed are Christians. Everybody's got their own way of teaching it, of the gospel. And for me, if I were to ever be called as a missionary president, the first thing and the only thing I think that I would probably tell my kid is be yourself. Because so many come out to the mission and they want to be the prototype of, you know, who the assistant to the president. I don't think it's that way. I think you were called to the mission because there's something unique about you that you can offer to the mission. And if you lose yourself in this ideal of who a missionary should be, you're not giving the people what they want. And I think that's really sad because I like to throw pancake parties on my mission for people. And it brought a lot of people. I didn't really like to knock doors. I could teach a whole mission class on what I think works, but it probably won't work for everybody. I think having fun shows who an LDS person, because if you're living the principles, you're happy. And that needs to come across as opposed to just doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Because that's.
Well, and there are other people that the doctrine is what suits them and what drives
like
them.
I said.
And that's why, to your point, you know, that's why those people are successful in that. But they're so true. There is not one way to be a Mormon person.
No,
and if this podcast doesn't demonstrate it more than anything else, it's there. You can be yourself and be a Mormon person.
I think I went tracking twice on my mission.
Wow.
Yeah. Sister. And I trained my trainees, my greenies, to not. I said, you can do so much more if you just visit non-actives and
100%. I mean,
fine. Everyone, my point is everyone had their own way. And I know that my different companions did things differently sometimes.
Sure.
So, like sometimes I'd take off one way and be like, I'm going
this way.
Hey,
go that way. Sure. See you later.
And if you were ever mission president, which would be awesome, Chet, would you be like, just call me Pink. President Chester Pink.
No, they'd all be wearing bow ties, that's for sure. Because there was a time when you were allowed to.
Oh, that's right, and you're not anymore. No. I miss when you used to be able to wear fedoras. That's what I tried to push.
What's more gentlemanly than that?
Right? Excuse me, may I take my cap off? Good evening, ma'am.
And when you tip it to the women, it's great.
We've run out of time, so I hope that this podcast nourish and strengthens your body.
And that you'll take these things that you've learned into your daily lives.
And that when you travel home, that you'll travel home in safety.
And we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the cultural hall.